You would please take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We will pick up our study of that wonderful, wonderful book, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I will be reading verses 7 through 10 and then making some comments. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Truly, the light is sweet. And it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for our childhood and youth are vanity. Amen. Let us pray. O blessed God, we thank you for this marvelous, marvelous book. The writings of the wise men, so instructive, and yet, Lord God, we know that they are far more than that. They are not simply the words of a wise man. They are indeed the very words of Almighty God. They are your words. And so, Lord God, we come before you and we ask that you would instruct us tonight. God, guard us from error. God, bless us with understanding. And above all, O God, bless us with application, that in some way we would live this out ever more closely walking with you, pleasing you all the better, serving you all the better, and honoring you all the more. God help us. God bless us. Bless this time. Be glorified, we pray, O God, in this time together. We ask it through Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard the saying, grow old gracefully. Grow old gracefully. Well, for some in America, them's fighting words. Don't you tell me to grow old gracefully. I'm going to fight it every inch of the way. We live in an anti-aging society. Billions of dollars are spent on various ways to try and look younger, to feel younger. We have creams, we have pills, we have procedures, we have special kinds of food, we have devices, we have routines, all of which claim to help slow or even reverse the aging process. And I got to see this firsthand in my previous career, years in the health club industry. I saw women in particular who would come in who had one or maybe two too many facelifts, maybe three or four or five too many facelifts. And it got to the point where you could identify them rather quickly. Yeah, they looked young, but they also couldn't smile anymore. Their cheeks didn't work. They looked a little like a cat. I called them the cat ladies. They would spend thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars on their appearance, trying desperately to look young. And the men were no different. They would be down in the weight room, of course, trying desperately to keep that muscle, to keep that vigor. And you could always identify them because when they would get dressed up, they'd get cleaned up. Men in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s. Well, they dressed like they were in their 20s or 30s. And so they tried very hard, like the women, to look young, to feel young, trying so very hard to try and be young. And so tonight, Solomon has a lot to say about that. And so we've titled this message, The Vanity of Youth. The Vanity of Youth, because every single one of us in here knows that it is fleeting. It is but a breath. It is havel. It is here, and then it is gone. Last week, my family and I went to a major store, and the kids picked out an hourglass. They saw a whole stack of hourglasses there, and they picked them out, and they showed them to me, and it's not very often you see an hourglass anymore, and I get a kick out of an hourglass. You turn it up, and the sand starts to trickle through. And I gave that some thought this week. There's something instructive about an hourglass. You look at a clock, you watch the seconds tick by. They tick, 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 tick. And that hand moves and it goes all the way around. But you know what it does when it gets back to the top? It goes back around again. And then it goes back around again. It never stops. There's always another hour. But with an hourglass, you tip it up, and those sands start trickling through. And you're instantly reminded that as those sands trickle through the hourglass, so does time. There's only so many grains of sand in the top of that hourglass. And that's a reminder that there are only so many days in our lives. They trickle through and then they're gone. They're over. And so indeed, life passes quickly. And Solomon is telling us tonight that youth in particular passes by quickly. And young people are prone to take their youth for granted. They tend to want to waste it or squander it because, quite frankly, they've never known anything but youth. And so they will squander it rather than invest it in the service to God. And I can tell you, as an older man now, it does indeed disappear quickly. Time flies. I was told when I was a young man, even when I was a child, many, many, many times by my parents, time flies. Appreciate the time that you have. My teachers in school would tell me the same thing. Someday, before you know it, you're going to be older. You're going to get old very quickly. Oh, where did the time go? Well, now what do I hear coming from myself? The same things. Oh, where did the time go? Time flies. Because it does. Time is fleeting. And so that takes us to our text, verse 7 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon writes this, "Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun." And so if you'll remember in our previous context, Solomon has been looking at the subject of wisdom. Wisdom is something that typically we believe is a good thing, and indeed it is. But he said that it has its limits. It's limited by our sin, and ultimately limited by death itself. Wisdom does not take you beyond the grave. All that you glean here in this life, all of the learning that you get, is gone when you die. But he said, the last few sections that we've looked at in this study, he's been telling us that despite all of that, despite the fact that wisdom has its limitations, it's still worthwhile pursuing. It still has great value. We should still invest ourselves in obtaining wisdom. It is very weighty. It is very precious. And so here, he continues that theme, but now he's looking at age. Youth. Youth is fleeting. Youth is here and then it's gone. But it still has something worthwhile. We should still value our youth. Life still has blessing in it. So he says that we should get out, enjoy the light, take it in, enjoy a beautiful day. Light is sweet, he says. You go out on a beautiful day, it's as if you could breathe it in. Blessings abound all around you. There's nothing wrong with that. That is a blessing from God. I often sit in my dining room, and sometimes I'll work on a sermon, and I'll look out into the backyard, and I see birds everywhere. I see animals, you know, lizards and whatnot. I see all kinds of different kinds of birds. Beautiful day, grass, trees. That's a beautiful blessing from God. God blesses us with that. We should take that in. We should enjoy that. The light that we take in, you go out, you can see, you can see the beauty of this world. That's a blessing from God. There's nothing wrong with that. And so despite the fact that life is short, despite the fact that youth in particular is not long lived, it's still worth enjoying. And so he says that, enjoy the time that you have. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30 says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart." It's good to take in the good things of life. And that takes us to verse 8. But, he says, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. So here's the question. What if you do indeed get all there is out of this life? What if you enjoy all there is in your days of youth? No matter how many years you're given to live, we must remember that it is limited. You can only soak up so much. Those days, or like the hourglass, those grains of sand are running out. Everything is drawing to a close. Life is havel. It is but a breath. It is but a vapor. It's coming to an end quickly. He says, a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. What is that? Well, that refers to death. I think we can understand that. The days of darkness, they are coming. It's coming for all of us. We know that. We understand that. I can remember as a young man grappling with that. As I sat down, I was very young. Might have mentioned this in the past. Sitting there and trying to comprehend eternity. Might have only been 3 or 4. My mom told me, yes, when you die, you're dead. There's no coming back in that regard, not in this life. And I remember having that weigh upon my heart and trying to grapple with eternity and having my mind shut down at that point. And it hasn't gotten any easier since then. No, death is coming for all of us, but so is old age. No matter how old you are, you're getting older. You're never getting today back. You're not getting tomorrow back either. We're all getting older. So those days of darkness, whatever you're able to do today, someday you won't be able to do. Those things are passing. So he says, remember those days. Think about those days. Enjoy where you are now. Enjoy your life now. Soak it up. Take it in. But do so with a sober mind. Do so remembering what is coming. Those days of darkness, as he calls them. His admonition, life is short, but youth is even shorter. Don't waste it. Consider its brevity. I read an article a number of months ago. Apparently this is a thing. Young people, young men in particular, will go into skyscrapers all over the world. And they bring video cameras with them, phones, whatever. And they go to the highest floor they can get to, and then they will probably break in and go even higher, places they shouldn't be able to go. And they get out onto ledges, they crawl out onto the edges of the building, set up their camera equipment, and then with no one knowing, they'll film themselves doing all kinds of crazy stunts and tricks. One in particular, a Chinese man, somewhere in a skyscraper in China, he climbed up, he'd done this many times. Of course, they post these videos online and they get this huge following of people who want to see this. And that's how they make their money. So he had done this for quite some time, but he was a very young man even still. And he climbed up and they wouldn't show the video in the article. There was no link to the video, but they did describe it. They said he climbed out like he normally would, grabbed onto the edge of the building and he started doing pull-ups. Everything went well until all of a sudden it didn't go well. They said there's no reason that you could tell from the video as to why he started to struggle. He started to lose his grip and you could see panic set in. And he struggled more and he struggled more until he was gone. Slipped off. Fell many, many, many stories. Probably over 100 stories to his death. He was a young man in his early 20s. He will never, ever, ever be back. Whatever he could have done is gone forever. Think of how many lives he could have touched, how many people he could have impacted, how many good things he could have done, how much he could have served the Lord in this life. Gone forever. Solomon says, you have your youth, don't waste it. You have your life. Even if you are older, you still have time. Don't take it for granted. Don't waste it. Life is a precious gift, and we must cherish it even while we invest our time, knowing that there will come a time when we won't be able to do what we can do now. And that takes us to verse 9. He says, "Rejoice. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." Now, there are three imperatives there in that verse. Solomon gives three commands. The first one is rejoice. Rejoice. We are to rejoice. We are to enjoy our days. Enjoy this life. There is nothing wrong with enjoying life. What is the chief end of man? But to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's a blessing from God. We get to enjoy the good things in life, all that God blesses us with. And so Solomon says, rejoice, enjoy life. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. There's nothing wrong with being young. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Have fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy your young life. Do the things that make you happy. Fulfill your youthful desires. Now, does that make you stop for just a moment if you're a little older? Fulfill your youthful desires. Well, he goes on. The second imperative, walk in the ways of your heart. Now, does that make you raise your eyebrow just a little bit? If you're older and you know what life is like as a younger person, walk in the ways of your heart? Solomon, what are you saying here? And then he says, walk by the sight of your eyes. These are commands. Now imagine telling your son or daughter as they're getting ready to go off to college. Son, make sure you study hard, work hard, but above all, walk in the ways of your heart. Walk by the sight of your eyes. Now, a young man or a young woman would say, no problem. I got that down pat. That's what I want to do. I want to walk by the sight of my eyes. I want to look at everything there is to look at. I want to take everything in that there is. No, what do we tell our sons or our daughters when they go off to college? Keep your nose to the grindstone. Guard yourself. Be careful. Be aware of what's going on around you. Don't be taking in everything, because the world is evil. So what is Solomon saying here? Well, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 seems to contradict what Solomon just said. It says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." You don't trust in your own heart. You don't follow your heart. No, that's what a fool does. Or Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, we read this. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Of course, there's a natural way that everyone wants to follow. It's the way of the heart. It's the way of feelings. It's taking in the sight of the eyes, taking in whatever, no discernment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Don't follow the dictates of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So is there a contradiction here? Is Solomon contradicting the clear teachings of these other proverbs? Well, look at verse 9 again. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But," he says, "but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment." There's the third imperative. Know that God will bring these things into judgment. Yes, young man, you want to take in all there is to take in. You want to look at all there is to look at in this world? You want to just soak it all up in your youthful vigor? Okay, fine. Just know that there's going to be a judgment. There's a price to pay for these things. Yes, enjoy life. Yes, enjoy the good things of life. But that does not give you the green light to soak in everything there is to soak in, to take everything in that there is out there. No, show restraint. Be careful. Of course, what's the cry of the young person? Oh, I just want to follow my own heart. This is what my heart is telling me, Dad. Oh, Mom, this is what my heart is telling me. And of course, the motto of the LGBTQ movement, love is love. Love is love. Hey, I love him. I love her. How can it be wrong? How can you deny me of this desire? It's love, after all. And isn't it interesting? What age group is the driving force in that movement? What age group is the one with the loudest voice, the one that you typically see out there? Is it not young people? The 20-somethings? Teenagers, to a large extent? Very young people. They are indeed the driving force there in that movement. Solomon's response, you want to follow your heart? Fine. Just know that judgment is coming. Your youth is fleeting, and it will be gone very soon. And of course, like I said, this doesn't just apply to young people. All of us need to take an account of whatever stage in life we're in and invest the days that we have. As they say, there's no bigger fool than an old fool. Someone who has lived his whole life, or she's lived her whole life, and yet hasn't learned any lessons from the natural consequences of being a fool. That person is indeed a big fool. We should learn from our mistakes and apply them to our lives and live out the remainder of our lives for the glory of God. And so verse 10, with all of this taken in, he says, therefore, in light of all of this, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. So the phrase, remove sorrow, could be translated as remove vexation or anger. And there are a lot of angry young people, particularly nowadays in our society. You might remember the TV show Cops. It was very popular in the 1990s. I enjoyed watching it as a young man. And I remember, I haven't seen the show in a very long time, but I do remember one episode where the police officers brought a young man in to book him. He had been arrested. They needed to book him. They needed to get him into the jail cell. And he was fighting them. And he had been fighting them, and he made it clear he wanted to continue fighting them. And so I remember real clearly that one of the officers looked him in the eye and he said, look, it's going to go so much better for you if you just don't fight. Just calm down. Calm down. Just breathe. We'll book you. We'll take you in the cell. We'll set you down. You can relax. You can rest. And then we'll talk to you later. Just relax. And of course, the man looked at him and he got more and more animated. And his face turned redder and redder, and the fist clenched tighter and tighter. And then before you know it, the fists were flying. The legs were kicking. He was screaming and yelling. They had to wrestle him to the floor. And it took 5 or 6 men to get handcuffs back on him and get him into the cell. They had to drag him into the cell. He was just fighting for the sake of fighting. There was nothing to gain. And they told him that. This will gain you nothing. And yet he did it anyway. That is the foolishness of youth. Fight for the sake of fighting. And of course, young people, not always, of course, but young people, certainly worldly young people, they tend to just fight against whatever the current standard is. Whatever mom and dad taught, well, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to pursue something other than that. I'm going to rebel. I'm just going to naturally rebel against traditional standards. Whatever I was taught, I'm going to fight against that. I mentioned last week that I've been reading a book to the kids. We've all been reading it together as family, a time of family worship. It was a book on cults. Dr. White wrote it. It was a book written for young people. It's called What's with the Dudes at the Door. And it's a great book, great little book. And we've been reading them and reading about the cults, rather. And he outlines all the major cults in the world and gives you background on each one of them. And I told you about how there's common threads between them all. They attacked the doctrine of God, the Trinity, and they attacked the doctrine of the justification by Christ alone, by faith alone. But there's one other common thread that they have, and that is that they typically do a lot of work on college campuses. Almost always in reading their bio, somewhere in the bio, there would be the line, and they have had great success on college campuses. They have a huge outreach on college campuses. Why would they do that? Why would they go to a college campus? Because they know that young people are going to naturally gravitate towards something that mom and dad had never told them to do. They're going to be rebellious. They're going to have open ears. They're unwise. They're undiscerning. And so the cults take advantage of that. And so Solomon says, again, he says, remove anger, put away evil. Why? Why do that? Well, he says, for childhood and youth are havel. They are vanity. They are passing away. They're passing away very quickly. And life, of course, is very short. And young people are, they get angry over these things. And they chase after the evil things of the world. And there are, of course, natural consequences to that. There are natural consequences to that. And I was thinking about young men who are in prison. How many young men do we have in this nation who chased after the things of the world and they found murder, thievery, all kinds of crime, and they wound up in prison? Or how many men, young men and young women too, but certainly young men, saw themselves shot? They're no longer here. Their actions put them in an early grave. They chased after evil things. So many young people die because of sinful choices. There are natural consequences. Again, I was watching a video of a dash cam on a police car, and there's millions of these videos out there. And the police officer pulled up behind a motorcycle. It was a beautiful day. Sun was out, middle of the day. And he recognized the motorcyclist. He recognized the bike. This man was wanted, I believe, for murder. And so he lit up the guy with his lights, turned on the siren. The guy's on a very fast motorcycle, so he instantly hit the gas and he was gone. He was gone for about 30 seconds. The cop chased after him as best he could. And then you heard the police officer get on the radio and he said, "He's wrecked, he's wrecked, he's wrecked. We'll need an ambulance." 30 seconds is all it took. Car pulled out in front of the motorcycle. The guy hit it. The cop pulls up, gets out. You can see from his body cam. He walks up and he starts telling the guy, "No, no, 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 stay down, stay down, stay down. Just lay there, just lay there." And they have to black out the image of the man because he had a fatal injury. The words come on the screen that suspect died at the scene. He had just a few seconds left to live, and the video cuts out. It's a beautiful day. This man could have taken any kind of a path in his life that he wanted to, but he chose a life of crime. He chose a life of murder. And he paid with it with his life. That is the havel of youth. Those who do not heed Solomon's warning. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil." So again, with that in mind, Solomon says, remove anger, put away evil. How can you do that? How can anyone truly do that? How can anyone truly remove anger or truly put away evil? How is this possible? In a word, simply, Christ. The only way it's possible. You can't do it any other way. You can suppress it, but you can't truly put it away. You can't get rid of it. What is impossible for man is very possible with God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26 says this. The Apostle Paul writes, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that not sound a lot like a lot of our young people nowadays? Sounds like spring break to a large extent in some places. You want to live like that, Solomon says? Not only are there natural and temporal consequences, but there are also eternal consequences. Now, conversely, on the other hand, verse 22 of that passage, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when you hear those things, does that not sound like true living? Is that not the good stuff of life? I mean, that's really living there. Love, joy, peace. Are those not things that we all seek after? Paul goes on. He says, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so that's the key. Those who are Christ's, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's Christ that can change the heart. It's Christ that can change us, that can get rid of anger, get rid of evil in our lives. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. That's in Christ and in Christ alone. And of course, that doesn't just apply to young people. That applies to all of us of all ages. So with all of this in our minds, with all of Solomon's commands in our minds, this should be our prayer. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Like the sand in the hourglass trickling through, it reminds us that time is passing. And so the psalmist says, we need to number our days just like that hourglass. And remember that those days are passing away. You will never have another today. Tomorrow will be different. You will never get this day back. We need to invest it for the glory of God. And I've always gotten a kick out of this. As we started Ecclesiastes, we worked our way through the book. I've read some of David's writings. I've mentioned this before, and I find it fascinating how much of David sounds like Solomon. The controversy, of course, is no one knows for certain if Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. We don't know that for certain. But there are certain passages that Solomon sounds an awful lot like David. This sounds an awful lot like a man who sat under the teachings of his father, David. This is Psalm 39, a psalm of David, verses 4 through 5. See if this doesn't sound exactly like what Solomon has just said. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor, is but a veil. And so it would seem that David's teachings maybe weren't adhered to by Solomon. Maybe he departed from those teachings, certainly, as he got older. But perhaps here in Ecclesiastes, he's remembered that, you know what? Dad was pretty wise. Dad taught me a few things. And so he's considering these things, and now he is teaching all of us. And so the hymn we sang just before the sermon this evening, very instructive hymn, says, "My times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand. Whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand. Why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. My times are in thy hand. Jesus the crucified, those hands my cruel sins had pierced, and now my guard and guide." May that be all of our prayers. Amen. Let's pray. Indeed, O God, our times are in your hands. They are drifting away quickly. Our youth is passing away. Our days are fleeting. And yet we know our times are in your hands. And Lord, we rejoice in the sweet, sweet knowledge that as brief as this life is, as quickly as the days pass, we know that there is an eternal day coming for each one of us who has put his or her faith in Christ alone. Oh God, we look ahead to that blessed day, that eternal day, that day when we will be able to serve you perfectly, completely, without sin, without the struggles of the flesh. We will be able to serve you in absolute perfect righteousness. Oh, what a blessed day that will be. In the meantime, Lord God, help us to press on. Whatever stage of life we might be in, help us to press on in our obedience, press on in our sanctification, press on in our desire to know you better, to grow ever more closely with you. God, help us, and help us to be an influence to those who might be younger than us, to teach them these glorious, wonderful, blessed truths. God, help us. God, bless us. Glorify yourself in and through us, we pray. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.